Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Text from the 985. LSU is a fun team to watch. When you look at the head coaches that Coach O has worked under, you know that he has the wealth of knowledge and experience to get the Tigers to the next level. His Cajun style fools a lot of the experts, but he's still a brilliant man. I think there's a lot of truth to that, by the way. I think that, look, we are human, and I have lived on the quote-unquote elite coasts. I spent 25 years on the left coast, and I have a lot of love for where I'm from, but I will tell you that there is a lot of inherent bias just because of how people speak down here. People sometimes don't take you seriously. Well, they better start taking Coach O seriously, because I don't know many coaches that could run that gauntlet that he just did. I mean, really. There are a few. I'm not saying he's the only one, but he deserves credit. People still are trying to not give him credit. You still have this sect of LSU fans or Coach O haters just saying, oh, it's all Aranda. It's all Ainsmere. It's all Joe Burrow, or it's the officials. Come on. Look a little foolish right now. Have some fun with us here. Let's talk some Saints. Probably a little LSU, too, with Larry Holder of TheAthletic.com now, at Larry Holder. Larry, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good, Seth. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. What do you make of Coach O, dude? This is an exciting time here for LSU, right? Should be, anyways.
I wrote a column after the game at Auburn on Saturday, basically about the subject kind of that you wrote about, that you just talked about, that, look, Ed Orgeron is constantly going to be a punching bag. It's never going to change simply because of his coaching style. The way he talks, he's forever going to be kind of a coach. And he's going to have to validate himself as a head coach. And you look at this start, and you certainly – and kind of just think about the record since they lost to Troy. I mean, they galvanized the team. They've only lost twice since then. And one was to Alabama. I mean, so, look, it's you cannot deny he's doing a very good job. And yet he's still got another gauntlet to go.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to jump the gun, but you've got to be impressed. I don't care if you like him, you hate him, you think he's the greatest thing in American history, but you've got to be impressed with what he's done. You beat up Miami and you beat Auburn, and both of those teams by the end of the year are still going to be top 15 teams, and you beat them on neutral site and you beat them in Auburn.
Yeah, man. I mean, really, I think people have this caricature of him as Farmer Fran from The Waterboy or something. Doesn't know what he's talking about. No, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing here. Let's talk some Saints, man. And I was one that I was trying to temper people's expectations for the first five games before that bye for the Saints team. I only had them going 3-2. And I said, look, this is a notoriously slow-starting team. I don't care how they win the football games. As long as they get three wins before that bye, I'll think they'll be okay. But it hadn't been pretty, Larry. What do you make of not only the Browns game, but the first 2 weeks here?
Well, that's okay. I did the exact opposite. I didn't temper expectations at all. I probably fed into them. I'm probably part of the problem, but no, in our NFL power rankings at The Athletic, we're using one word from each of our beat writers, because, look, we cover the entire league, and we're using one word to describe what the team's prognosis is each week, and my one word is unexpected, because I didn't expect them to lose to Tampa. I did not expect them to almost lose to Cleveland, and if there were anybody except maybe Buffalo, the Saints would have lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that I know Sean Payton's puzzled. I know the players in the locker room are puzzled. You talk to a lot of those guys after the game, and what they're telling me is they know they're just lucky that they won and that they basically didn't deserve to win. And it almost sounded like when Ben Watson was almost afraid to go to the facility on Monday, he simply told me, there's a lot that's going to be going on Monday. No victory Monday by any stretch of the imagination. So this is going to be a critical game. I didn't think it would be critical. going into the season. Now it's pretty critical given the landscape of the division right now.
Yeah, and we'll get to the defense here in just a little bit, Larry, but man, the offense looks like they really miss Mark Ingram. And I kind of thought that would be the case, and people were saying, it's not everybody, but some people were saying, oh, they got Alvin Kamara, they'll be fine. They got Drew Brees, they'll be fine. But he's such a critical part of this offense, Mark Ingram, and you're seeing that now, Larry.
I agree, and yet I would also say that I do agree with what Sean Payton was saying, that I don't care what running back you had on some of those calls against some of those defenses, it wasn't going to work. And so I do think, though, in some other runs, that Mark Ingram would be able to get it done, as opposed to Mike Gillislee or Jonathan Williams. And you don't want to put Kamara back there too much. There's no doubt they miss him. The good thing is he comes back fresh in 2 weeks. So you get through this stretch. If you get to 3-1, no matter how you get through it, that would be great. 2-2, you can survive that as well. So look, it's all is not lost. And I did. It's funny. I asked Teron Armstead because everyone was basically moping, and I said, "Well, it's better than 0-2, right?" And Jermaine Bushrod peeks around the corner and he's like, "Of course!" And starts laughing. And I said, "Well, I gotta hear something because I mean, y'all did win the game," and they're just both started laughing. But yeah, back to the subject. Yeah, I do think. You would miss Mark Ingram. He's one of the better backs in the NFL.
Yeah, man. Talking to Larry Holder here, at Larry Holder on Twitter. Talked a little LSU, talking Saints now. Larry Holder of The Athletic now covering the Saints and some LSU. Man, I've been saying it for over a year now, I guess, that the Saints just don't have those weapons in the slot, or they don't have the weapons that tie it in, and that may come back to bite them against good defenses, and I think we certainly saw that against the Browns here. And I'm not saying they don't have the talent here, Larry, because they got a stable of guys from Tre'Quan Smith to Cam Meredith when he comes back, especially in the slot, but they've got to get more production out of that spot. I mean, Ben Watson, my goodness, he's the ageless one, but it's not gonna get it done. 7 catches for 63 yards in 2 games from that position.
And you don't need him playing 80% of the snaps. I mean, he's up there in age. I mean, he's not old as in normal age, but he's ancient in NFL terms. But I think Drew Brees would have liked one throw back. He had Austin Carr, and he misfired on him on one play. But it doesn't seem like Austin Carr is kind of fitting that bill. But look, I think it also goes to show you that Cam Meredith's not there yet, and that's not what they expected, and they thought he would be there, ready to go, and be in there as a third wide receiver. So I think that's something that the Saints may have misread, and the fact that it doesn't seem like it's health. It seems like he's just not up to speed with the offense. You're not paying a guy to sit out. I mean, you'd feel okay with Austin Carr sitting out or Tre'Quan Smith sitting out being inactive because you're not paying him that much. But you're actually paying Cam Meredith some decent money. You're expecting him to come in and be productive, and you haven't seen that. So I agree. I think they are missing kind of that aspect of the offense.
Well, let's talk about the defense here. And we've talked a lot of positives, LSU and the Saints here. Let's get into some negative here, man. I almost have to close my eyes and kind of cross my fingers every time I see a pass go up Ken Crawley's way. I think, and I've said it on this program many times, I think he's a capable NFL quarterback. I'm not trying to just simply bash the man without any reference here, but you cannot have a guy on one side of the field, I think, Larry, that is that much of a liability downfield, whether it's just getting burned by DeSean Jackson again this game, or he was the most penalized player in the league last year. Larry, do they do something with this position, or do they just throw Ken Crawley out there and hope that he, I guess, gets better?
I think they're going to have to kind of play it and see what happens, at least for the next couple of weeks. Yeah, I don't think they're going to totally turn on him. And it's not like they're going to go out and get a guy. Maybe they move someone to play in there. I mean, look, you had 2 draft picks. You cut them, and they're gone. I don't know if they were necessarily played, but you kind of whiffed on those 2 guys. And then who else is on the team? P.J. Williams, I don't trust him. Arthur Millett might be someone you turn to. It's also you're wondering, all right, would it be safe to put P.J. Williams out there in base situations? Maybe. Patrick Robinson. Patrick Robinson out there in base situations. I don't know because they like him as a nickel guy. But yeah, it's Ken Crawley, I think, is a borderline capable corner. And the Saints would certainly like – that. There's a reason why they took two corners in the draft. You know, and they signed Patrick Robinson. They know that that spot is kind of something that people are going to look at, especially when you got Lattimore. Even though Lattimore's not playing like the Lattimore we've seen, people are still going to stay away from Lattimore and go after Crawley. And if he's getting beat, that's more reason enough to do it.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to just impugn the guy with, again, but you've got to be better at that spot. I understand the NFL, Larry, and you know this. It's not what it was even 3 or 4 years ago in that secondary. It's hard to play defensive back, but you can't just give up deep pass after deep pass like that and then get penalized on the ones that you're not getting burned on. Pass rush is another concern for this team. Is that just a product of the offensive lines they've been playing, or is this a much deeper problem?
I think you first saw Cam Jordan finally emerge toward the end of the game, but teams have started trying to double team him, and that's something where the Saints are going to have to contend with that, because they're not going to let Cam Jordan beat him. They'd rather try to let every other guy beat him. Look, we saw Sheldon Rankins get a sack, and we saw a little bit more pressure, but it's Tyrod Taylor. He's barely a starting quarterback. In my eyes, he probably shouldn't even be starting. It should be Baker Mayfield. So, you know, it's something that I think we expected more, and the Saints were a little bit more effective on the blitz in this game, but they were not effective at all in the blitz against Tampa. And let's just go this weekend. Matt Ryan, he gets the ball out quickly. If they get no pass rush on him, he can pick on people. And you don't think he's going to be targeting where Ken Crawley is? And also, I don't think he's going to care if Marshon Lattimore is on Julio Jones. He's going to take his guy and test him, no doubt about it.
Yeah, indeed. Marcus Davenport, obviously he was drafted to at least give them some production. I don't know what that is yet. Haven't seen it yet. What have you seen from Davenport, man? I know it's just 2 weeks in, but I still have maintained they didn't have to get a lot. They got to get something from the guy. They just have to this year in this conference.
Yeah, I feel like he did improve from week one to week two, and he told me he wanted to improve against the run. I do feel like he did that, but he's not seeing every down snaps. And, you know, even though expectations are high for him, you had to be realistic going in the season. You know, they're not that high, at least for his own sake. He gets called for a roughing the passer penalty, and the NFL said he shouldn't have, so that's good. But still, it's something that you want to see something from him. I just think overall, we don't have to put it just on him. I want to see it from Alex Okafor. I want to see it from Sheldon Rankins. I want to see it from David Onyemata. Of course you want to see it from Cam Jordan and all those guys outside of the last couple of minutes of the game against Cleveland. You know, it's been easy picking for the quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Larry, sounds like you're having a lot of fun over at The Athletic, man. I can kind of hear it in your voice.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a new adventure. It took me from Auburn one day, fly home Sunday morning, go to the Dome, write something else. No, it's we're covering every team in the NFL. We have national writers covering every team in the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL. We cover the Premier League, for crying out loud, and I don't even know anything about soccer. But, you go to theathletic.com. And you can subscribe. I mean, it's you get all of our markets, which is, I think, about 33, 34. So every major market in the country, we have writers, and they're going after and getting some of the best writers in the country in each market. I'm sort of tooting my own horn, but hey, that's the name of my business. I'm going to do it. But no, go to theathletic.com, and I've got LSU stories. We've got film studies. I've got Saints coverage. It's and Will Guillory, who also left the Times-Picayune to go over there, is going to be all over the Pelicans, and they start up very soon. So go check it all out at theathletic.com.
Yeah, it's like you're that young guy right out of college again, just doing everything you can, right, and all over the place. So it's got to be. You know what I mean?
Don't tell my wife that, because it's she doesn't want college, Larry. I have to tell you that.
Larry, it's always fun, man. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely, Seth. We'll catch up again soon.
All right, Larry Holder, at Larry Holder on Twitter. Columnist now for The Athletic, covering the Saints, covering LSU also. What you think, Saints fans? Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? When you think about this team again, they're kind of on pace for what I expected first five games. Again, I had them 3-2. I certainly didn't have them struggling against the Browns and then losing to Tampa. So, I don't know. I think these next two games are very big. And I know that's cliche because every game in the NFL is big. But they cannot start the season 1-3 and expect to be a contender in this conference. Seeding is going to be incredibly important when you have the Rams and you have the Vikings in that building where I just don't think you're going to beat them in the house that Skull built when it's in January. I don't think you're going to Lambeau and winning in January. We know it's going to be tough in a playoff environment to win in Atlanta, and certainly the defending champ. Seeding is going to be incredibly important. Got to get at least one win the next couple of weeks at Atlanta or at New York. We'll talk about that going forward here. And I've gotten my NFL Power 12. My power rankings coming up here in just a little bit. Let's take a break. Phone line is open, 504-260-1870, 504-260-1870. Text line is 870-870, and here's our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. Who will win more games this season, the Saints or LSU? Log on to WWL.com, cast your vote there, and we'll update you in just a little bit. I'm Seth Dunlap. Thanks for listening tonight. This is The Last Lap.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.